Good morning. Good to see you. Oh, because we're in New Orleans. Y'all. I try. Every year coming to U.S., I'm still trying. You know, when I see the video, I'm so excited because I'm there. But it never started like this. It started in 1974. I was 26 years old, and my wife, she was 24. We had two small kids. God moved us to Africa. We were very excited. I know, it's a long time ago. It was before the mobile phone. It was before emails and SMS. Do you know SMS? Short message sent. But when my wife says she sends me a message, it's never short. It's always long. The first phone we had in Africa was that type. Wake up, operator, wake up. I just want to explain for the young people. We were still alive at that time. And we are still alive today. And if you live long enough, you get older. That's very deep. That's really a revelation. None of us was born old. We are born like babies. The work of God never starts big. It always starts small. It starts with God speaking to our hearts. God is calling us. And I believe God is calling everyone. Absolutely everyone. So we arrived in Africa, and it was very different. It's difficult to explain. Pastor Steve, you have been in Africa. How do you explain it? No mud bugs. No grapes. No hamburgers. it's amazing. It's different. So we were picked up at the airport, and we were driving about 1 hour on a nice road, and then the road disappeared. And it was very dusty. No air conditioning in the car. It was very bumpy. And then evening came, the dark came, and I saw all the fires from the mud huts. Most of the people in Tanzania still lives in mud huts. No running water, no electricity. You want to move? No fast food, only slow food. And suddenly I got scared. Because that time, long time ago, people are not traveling. There was tourism, but, you know, church people didn't go on a mission trip for a couple of weeks. If you went, you went. And you didn't know when you were returning, if you were returning. But 44 years later, I'm amazed. Not about myself, but about God. We didn't have anything. Even the language, we couldn't speak the language. That time, English was very close to be forbidden in Tanzania. And we are from Denmark, we speak Danish. No, by the way, this is the heavenly language. So if you want to come to heaven, learn Danish. It's in the Bible. I can prove it in the Bible. Oh yeah, the Apostle Paul, he went to heaven. And when he returned, he said, I heard unspeakable words. Danish. Try. So Tanzania has 130 tribes. Very different tribes, different languages. One national language, which is Kiswahili. And it takes some time to learn Kiswahili. I mean, hi in English, hi is easy. But if I was just here for an hour saying hi, I don't think you would invite me back next year. Jambo in Swahili is hi. It's good to greet people with jambo. But when you're preaching, it's not good enough to say jambo, 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 jambo. So I was desperate. I prayed to God. I believe God is answering prayer. I do. I read about missionaries. God gave them the language. But God didn't give it to me. I was upset. I was angry at God. I shouted at God. I threatened God. I go back home. It took some time, but 44 years later, nobody cheated me in Swahili. You try. One time, I called one of my, actually one, my best friend in Africa, a pastor. He has been on my board for many, many years. He lives in another city. I changed my voice. I told the pastor, I'm a bad sinner. I'm in trouble. I started crying. I need your help. Please pray for me. He said, can you come to the church? I said, yeah, I will be there within 10 minutes. Of course, I didn't show up because it was 300 miles. He never figured out it was me. But that time, it was impossible. Everything with God starts in the small. And then we are walking with God, and we are growing. I didn't start with a big crowd. I didn't start with a mic. I started with a stool. I had to preach. I went to the marketplaces. I was jumping up. I was standing on the stool and shouting. And of course, because they hardly don't see a white man shouting in the marketplace on a stool, I had a crowd. An evangelist want a crowd. Amen? Amen? But I'm so amazed by God, what God is able to do if we just tell him we are willing. Amen? Amen? We are so thankful to be back. And I want to tell you, you have good pastors. You better take care of your pastors. They didn't tell me to tell you. No. No, they are not corrupted. But you better take care of your pastors. They are good people. We came yesterday and they took us out to eat. They gave us good food last night. I tell you, good food. Good New Orleans food. Shrimps and grits. Oh, hallelujah. Even before I've been to church and preaching, they don't know what I'm going to do. But then they fed me and my wife in a wonderful rest. Good pastors. You better be good to your pastors. Amen? Amen? But we are in church, and it's about God. It's about God. Have you ever seen God? No? I'm talking about your physical eyes. Have you ever seen God? No. I had a crusade in a Muslim city. Dominated by the Muslims, and the leader of the Muslims came and attended the crusade. He was an elderly gentleman, very nice man, very humble. And I invited him to sit on my stage, and one day I gave him the mic and said, greet the people. And he was very good. I loved him. So I invited him and some of his colleagues Saturday night for supper. And he came. And after the supper, he came over to me and he wanted to thank me for a wonderful evening. And then he said, I have a question for you. I said, just bring it. So he said, I listen to you every day when you're preaching. You're preaching about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every day is Jesus. Every day is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But have you with the physical eyes ever seen this Jesus? And I felt, I got him. Because he has never seen Jesus with his physical eyes. But then I said, sir, I will answer your question. And before I do it, I have a question for you. He said, bring it on. I said, sir, every day I listen to you from your mosque. You are talking about a holy prophet, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. Every day, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. When you touch the name of Muhammad, I felt he was very close to get angry. Then I said, sir, have you ever with your physical eyes seen Muhammad? I felt fire in his eyes. But then he understood he was caught. He said, forget about it. Have a good night. I haven't seen Jesus with my physical eyes. I haven't seen God with my physical eyes. I haven't seen the Holy Spirit with my physical eyes. But I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Too many people tell us, especially Christians, it's difficult to believe. Wrong. I repeat myself. Too many people, especially Christians, are telling me it's difficult to believe. Wrong. I repeat a third time. Too many people tells me it's so difficult to believe, especially Christians. Wrong. It's very easy to believe. You don't need to feel cold in your stomach or hot on your back or your right hand shaking or your left foot dancing. You just decide. It's a decision. I believe in God, the Almighty. I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came, who suffered and was crucified and killed for me. I believe the third day He rose again. And the angel said to the women who came to the tomb, He is not here. Why are you looking for Him here? He is not in the tomb. But He's here today. At this church, in this very moment, He is here. You can see Him, but I guarantee if you want, you can feel Him. Even that's not just a feeling. You see, too many Christians, I'm not talking about American Christians, but European Christians, they are talking, we don't like to feel. It's because it's not anything about feeling, it's church. It's not. Huh? You don't have any feelings? You are dead. You are dead. Everyone has feelings. You can have, your feelings can be down, your feelings can be up. You can feel cold, you can feel hot. I went outside the hotel this morning. I thought I was in New Orleans, and normally it's hot in New Orleans, but it was cold. I felt it. I couldn't see it, but I felt it. I can feel my wife. Nothing wrong. She is my wife. Absolutely. And I love that feeling. Nothing wrong. You don't have any good feelings? We are born with feelings. God, He can feel. So I don't have to. I would love to see God. I would love to see Jesus with my physical eyes. Absolutely. And sometimes I pray, how come some other people tells me they can see Him and they can hear His voice, and I just have to believe? I've decided to believe. Many, many years ago here in New Orleans, Pastor David Long, he was talking about his boat, and the Indians was powerful, and the speed was incredible. And one day he invited me and my wife, and we went out to the boat, and at the beginning he was going slow, and this is boring. I think he read my thoughts, because suddenly, down with the hammer, and the nose, the front of the boat went to the air. We were sitting in the back. And then the nose came down, and then all my hair was over there. I could feel the power. I could feel the power. I'm from a small island in the Baltic Sea. And we can have storms. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. But you can also see the results of the wind. The big trees are bending over. You can see a hand, but you can see something is touching in the trees. And sometimes it breaks. God, even if you can see Him, God is powerful. I said, God is powerful. God, my God. My Father, He is powerful. I believe in God. By His word, He created the world. By His word, He created everything. Just by speaking, God is powerful. I think anyone would like to get a visit of some powerful people. You don't like to get a visit at your home with some powerful people? Huh? Many years back, the Prime Minister of Tanzania wanted to visit my home in Tanzania. Oh man, all the officials came and looked at the house and the room and where he should sit. And we were excited, a powerful man. But today he's not the prime minister anymore. He's just an ordinary man. All respect for powerful people. Oh, somebody rich is coming to church. Oh, multimillionaire. Oh, everybody said, come in, come in, come in. We prepare everything because he has money or she has money. Powerful. But God is more powerful. God is more powerful. God is the beginning of every power. He's the Alpha and Omega. So here's my question. Would you like to have a visit of God? In your house, in your home, in your life? Maybe you ask the question, can God visit me? Yes. Yes. God can visit you. When you read the Bible, it happened, God showed up. Moses, he was a failure. Sorry, Moses, but it's in the book. I can't do anything about it, Moses. So don't argue against me. It's written in the book. And it's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. Moses, you are in there. And you were a failure. If you don't like to hear it, switch off your... He was a killer. He killed two men. I tried to kill. Not people. No. A chicken. It's very difficult for me. I'm not a killer. So I think I'm better than Moses. He ended up in the desert watching the sheep and goats in the desert. It's a terrible place. It's dry. It's so hot. The sun is very strong. And every morning, meh. Every noon, meh. Every evening, meh. Every day, every week, every month. Terrible. Terrible. But one day, ooh, I like that day. One day. One day everything changed. Why? Because he got a visit. God came himself. There was a bush. And it burned. That it's happened in the desert because it's so hot. So it's not very strange. It's quite normal. But the abnormal, not normal, is that somebody was in the bush. Not hiding. But speaking, there was a voice coming out of the fire from the bush, and it was God. And it changed everything in his life. Moses was 80 years old. Old. Older than me, by the way. Old. You know, I'm born in Denmark, and I'm still a Danish citizen, but a resident of Tanzania. So in Denmark, when they turn 65, if they don't die before, they become pensioners. Pensioners. That's wonderful. So you get some money from Big Brother, the government. In my case, it's about $500 a month. I mean, I never had pocket money before, so I take it. Pensioner. When I turned 65, I became a pensioner. I didn't like that word. Because when I grew up, pensioners was old people. Old. I didn't like it. But I liked the money. I took the money. So if you wonder about my age, in June I'm turning 70. 70. And I think it's a long time ago, so they did something wrong when they wrote the birth attest. Yeah, I think they did it wrong. So now, because I'm that old, my insurance company in Europe is kicking me out. I'm too big a risk for them. Normally, they want my money, but now they don't want my money anymore. So, I'm done. I'm done. no value. I'm too old. It's over. I better die. Go to heaven. But then God came to Moses. He was 80 years old. He was a failure. He visited him, and it changed his life completely. You are never too young. You are never too old. It's not a question of where you are from. Too many Christians are talking about the past. Forget the past. But when I tell Christians to forget the past, they get angry. Did you have a good past, though? No, my past was terrible. I was born in the wrong family. I was born in the wrong family, too. I was born on a small island in a small village. It was wrong. I was born into a Pentecost church family. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And when I married. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. But some people are so occupied about the past. But the Apostle Paul says in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, if anyone is in Christ, not in a church is important, not in an organization, but in Christ, not in America or Europe or Africa, but in Christ, he or she is a new, and the old has passed. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, past. I'm driving on the road in U.S., and there's some signboards. The left lane is only for passing. But I don't want to pass because the one in front of me is too slow. But there's somebody in the left lane, too. They're too slow, either. And I can't move them. But it's written, it's only for passing. Why don't you move? Because, but you know, I'm a visitor, so I can't. If I was in Africa, I would move them out. I would move them out of the road. And there's some Christians that really want to move them out of the road. It has passed. It's gone. Even God forget everything about your past. Because you're born again. You're born again. By the word, by the spirit of God, you're born again. So it's nothing about your past. It's everything about your future. So when does your future start? Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. The future starts now. So when God visited Moses, God gave him a new future. He gave him a new assignment. Going to Pharaoh, he was a tough guy. Too many Christians just wanted easy. Forgive me, please forgive me, but, you know, that's how old people are talking. Easy. But you forget. Even if it's tough, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Oh, let me explain like this. I see in my crusade so many people getting healed, miracles. Some years ago, some young pastors in Denmark asked me in a conference, which is the greatest miracle ever you have seen? It's difficult to answer, very difficult to answer, because I've seen so many. But then I remember the lady, she was dying of AIDS. No cure, even in U.S., even in Louisiana or New Orleans, no cure. You can get some medication to help them, but no cure, no healing. But Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the real cure. Jesus is able. Everything is possible for him and those who believe in him. She was a Christian lady. And the story is because she was Christian, three men some years back raped her because she was a Christian. Some people are paying a high price because they are Christians. And you can ask the question, where were you, God? Why didn't you protect her? It's a good question. But you never find the answer. So we prayed for her several times. And then finally I said, it was the weekend during the crusade. I don't want to manipulate, but I felt the Spirit talking to me. Tell her she is healed. Don't tell people they are healed if they're not healed. Then you manipulate. And it's hurting them. But I felt it so strongly, so I had to do it. So I told her, you and your pastor, go to the hospital where you have been in and out, in and out, in and out for several years. They know you and have all the tests. Go Monday morning and let them test you again, because I believe you are healed. Monday morning, we are leaving very early. In the afternoon, we were still driving. My cell phone was ringing. It was the pastor. He was so excited. He said, listen, since early morning, I've been here with this lady. They have tested her again and again and again and again and again. Finally, they shake their heads and said, we don't understand it, but there's no AIDS anymore. She got a visit from heaven. God showed up. So, I mean, I don't want people to go through the pain. Which one is greatest, to be healed or to be raised from the death? Think about it. Which one is the greatest, to heal or to raise from the death? Or let me turn it around. Which one is best, to live in a blessing of health or getting sick or being healed? I want to live in the blessing of health, not getting sick. It's greater. But you see, people's eyes are looking different. But what I want to tell you, when God is coming, everything will be changed. I said, everything will be changed. Do you expect? Languages are difficult, you know. Don't ask a woman if she is expecting. But this morning in church, you might have challenges in your life. You might have needs. You tried to fix it yourself, and you have tried it for a long time, but you can't do it. Do you expect? Do you expect? If you are a believer, you will expect. If you don't expect, you are not. Don't get angry. You are not a believer. You're not a believer. If you are a believer, automatically you will expect. When you expect, you show your faith. Not only for people, but for God. I believe in you, and because I believe in you, I'm expecting you to come and visit me. I live with you, I walk with you, but I want you to show up, God. Because I can't fix it myself, but I believe you can fix it. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, I mean, they messed it up. I'm not asking you if you messed it up, but I know people are messing it up. I'm not talking about messing it up in your marriage, but messing it up, you know. I mess it up sometimes with my wife. It happens. I'm not an angel. I'm not talking about going outside the marriage, but I mean, I live with her. I work with her 24/7, Sunday, Monday. Normally, Monday is the pastor's break day. I can't break. I do break, but I can't break. I mean, how can I explain it? In Africa, where to go? Pastor asked me last night if I could go fishing. We live inland, up in the mountains. It's very far to the ocean or to the water. I mean, 24/7. She's a good woman. She's a wonderful woman. I can't live without her. That's the truth. But, you know, together all the time, all the time. Some of you men, you are lucky. Monday morning, you go to your work, and your wife, you go to her work, and you see each other in the evening. Lucky, 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 lucky. Wherever I go, she follows, and I'm glad, because she packed my suitcase. She is a blessing to me. She is my helper. Huh? But still, you know, I just try to get to the point. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult, you know, because maybe people misunderstand me. I don't want to be misunderstood. But, you know, we are born again. Christ lives in us. And the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit, you know. But sometimes you get, you know, I mean, especially when you're in ministry. Especially when you're a leader. I mean, we have missionaries from Denmark. We have missionaries from Sweden. Are there any Swedish people here? Oh, I will use them. I mean, they are very different. Swedish people, they think they are the big ones in Scandinavia because they are the biggest nation in Scandinavia. They believe that they are the bigger brother. I don't like the bigger brother because we are equal. You know, pressure. And then the Africans themselves, different culture, you know. Different culture, pressure. And then, because we started it, we are the founders, God spoke to our hearts. It cost money. I mean money, real money, lot of money. And I don't have any money. And I don't know where to find the money. Unless in your pocket. And you're not giving it to me. Pressure. Yeah, of course you will. But pressure, that's the point. Pressure. And when you're under pressure, you get tired. And you preach. I'm preaching, casting out demons, healing the sick, traveling on the road, getting tired. And when you get tired, the pressure is coming. The needs are a bit like big mountains, you know. And there's nobody else in my house, only my wife, because my kids are grown up, they're gone. And then, yeah, well, we leave it there. Abraham and Sarah messed it up. Terrible. Bad. Wanted a son, or at least he wanted a child. He couldn't have a child. Have you ever been there where you can't get it? The nature, circumstances is totally against you. Impossible. It's written big letters. Impossible. You wake up in the morning. Impossible. You go for lunch. Impossible. You have some snacks. Impossible. In the evening, impossible. You go to bed. Impossible. During the night, impossible. It was absolutely impossible for them. So one day Sarah said, okay, impossible. We have been trusting God. We have been praying. I don't tell you that to do the same as they did. That's not my point. Then Sarah said, we have a house girl, and I want you to have a child. Sleep with your house girl. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But I can understand it. Year after year after year, looking for God, the visit of God, God coming into the life, changing the circumstances, serving God, and it's not showing up. God, what is wrong with you? Then she was confused. She wanted to give a baby to her husband. She couldn't do it. She was second hand. Maybe you don't understand it in the U.S., but in the culture in Africa and Asia, when a woman can't give birth, she is secondhand. And it's legal in Africa and in our society for the husband to have a second wife because she can't give me a child. So she said, you sleep with the house girl. And Abraham, he said, yes. With the permission of his wife, he should have said no. But he had a need. And the house girl, she was younger than his wife. Everything came to him. Do it! Explaining why he should do it. And you're in that situation, you know? And the devil is telling you, why shouldn't you do it? Why shouldn't you do it? Why shouldn't you do it? And then he slept with the house girl, and he got a boy. His name is Ishmael. Abraham and Sarah created a problem the world is fighting even today. And can't fix it. It comes from Abraham and Sarah. They did it really bad. I never messed it up bad like this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think I'm much better than Abraham and Sarah. Now, I have to do it quickly. Now, they were really old. Old. Abraham was about 100. He was 99 going to 100. Sarah was 90. Suddenly, God finally is showing up. But he's too late. Because the nature is against. I don't know if you get me. The nature is against. 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman, they might sleep in the same bed, but when nature is against, the doctors can't do anything. Medication can't do anything. Nature is against. And maybe you are there. Nature is against you. You've been waiting. You've been struggling. Nature is against you. And finally, too many Christians say, okay, nature is against me, so nothing is going to happen. But then God showed up. Remember, he created nature. He is the creator himself. And if he wants to do some adjustment, he can do some adjustment. If he wants to change something, he can change something in the nature. Remember, Jesus walked on water. Have you ever tried to walk on water? As a boy, I tried. I came from Sunday school. They told me Peter was walking in water. I said, I'm a fisherman's son. I'm going to walk on water. I went down to the big rocks and jumped in the water. I didn't walk. I swimmed. I thank God I learned to swim before. Otherwise, I would be dead. Nature. Everything, absolutely everything can be against you. Then God, finally, what took so long? God visited them in the tents. When God was leaving, he said, I'll come again. Oh, Lord, come again. Please come again. I want you to come again. But then God said, next time I'm coming, your wife, Sarah, she has a child. Abraham was laughing. Sarah heard she was laughing. And I've been preaching about this many times. I thought in the past, they were laughing because they thought God is joking. God wasn't joking. God is never joking. God is always speaking the truth. The promise. They couldn't believe how it should happen. Many times we can't believe. I mean, we decide to believe, but we can't figure out how can it happen? How can it happen? Don't think about it. Just believe in God. Just believe in him. And him alone. He can fix everything. Absolutely everything. And now I believe Sarah and Abraham, they were just laughing. They were laughing against the impossible. Because real faith in God will always laugh against the impossible. Because we don't believe in the circumstances. We don't believe in the devil. We believe in God. When he comes, he changes everything. When he comes, miracles are happening. So why don't you start laughing now? People ask you, I know you have a problem. How comes you are laughing? I'm laughing at the impossible. Because God is changing the impossible to become possible. You might not see it now, but God can see it. God knows where the miracle are. God knows how to do it. And he knows when to do it. I thank God he was so late with Abraham and Sarah. If it wouldn't be that late, we wouldn't have that testimony. So, let me close. God's future for you is always better than your best past. I repeat it again so you get it. God's future for you, and you is always better than your best past. So, years back, I was preaching in Mansfield, Louisiana. First time coming to the church, the pastor's name is Glenn Rogers. I was preaching. And suddenly, I recognized on the walls in the sanctuary, it was written all over, the best is yet to come. I mean, it burned in my heart. I will never forget it. And as I was preaching, something happened. I don't know if it was organized or I don't know. All the kids was in the church because pastor said, when missionaries are coming to church, they're supposed to be in the sanctuary. Suddenly, children came towards me on the platform. I wonder, what are they going to do? It never happened before. And then all my pockets, they put something in my pockets. And I felt so uncomfortable. I looked to Pastor Glenn Rogers, and he was smiling. He said, just go ahead. Just go ahead. I went ahead. And in several waves, kids came. And my pockets, I tell you, there was no more room. When I come back to the hotel, I emptied my pockets. Dollars, 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 dollars. Watches, rings, jewelries in my pockets. I remember, the best is yet to come. God gave me a lesson. I'm not talking about dollars or jewelries or watches. Anyhow, it's good when it's coming. Oh, you're not happy? If you have trouble with the bank, God can change it. God can change it. God can change it. How? I don't know. But when he's coming, he will change it. You might be broke, but not for very long anymore. He can change it. He can turn it around. You might be in a deep hole, but not for very long. He knows you are there. Just believe and trust in him. He will grab your hand. He will pick you up. You might be in the dark, but sun is coming. Daylight is coming. When God is visiting you, everything has to change. It's not maybe. No. When God is coming, everything is changing. Absolute everything. Finally, you know, evangelist. Finally, you never reach the final. That's my problem. I don't want to keep you. But Paul and Silas were in jail. Did he do anything wrong? No. There was a girl, she was demon possessed. Even she was speaking the truth, telling the people that those two men are God's servants. But it was wrong focus. So one day, Paul, he got upset. So he cast out that demon. And because he did that, this is a longer story, you can read about it in Acts. Paul and Silas went to jail. So, you know, many times, I've only been a faithful believer and giving my tithes to the church and giving to mission. I've been good all my life, and now finally, can happen. Can happen. It can happen. Not because you're being good. Not because you're being bad, but it can happen. Why should it happen to Paul and Silas? Just because they cast out a demon. It's not a blessing to be demon possessed. It's horrible. But some people make business out of it. And they got upset and angry. So now they're in jail. How would you react in jail? Oh, God, I mean, listen, God, I'm doing this and that every Sunday, every Wednesday. I'm in church, God. Why do you put me in jail, God? Why? Stop it! Wrong thinking. Midnight, Paul and Silas, they began to sing. They started to worship. Worship, worship. They were in pain, physical pain, but they decided to worship. They didn't have the feeling, but they decided to worship. They sang worship songs because they knew the devil can't do us anything. he's defeated. Even we're in jail and he's laughing, but we will laugh too. And our laughter is worship to God. And suddenly God showed up. Everything was shaken. Oh, chains fell off. Doors were open. And he walked out as free man. God, when he is showing up, chains are gone. Doors are open. Sickness is gone. Blessings is coming. No more cursing. You are set free. A visit from God changes everything.